do start speaking.
Share that.
Morning.
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 Gene, I'm an addict.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah, I didn't know I was doing this, but I was coming. Yeah, I'm grateful to be able to listen to Mike share today. Today, I guess what's today? February 4, 2024, out of the darkness into the light. So at least all these people that listen to your tape all over the world, they'll know the date you share. Anyway, but I don't know. Cast of millions. Yeah. But, you know, crazy. I got to be grateful. You know, meeting Mike is like one of those things that for me is like the second step happening in my life. Being able to just coming out of a meeting, talking to somebody, and taking a minute or two, talking to a newcomer, getting to know them, and then for whatever reason, those people come into your life. And so it shows me through the years our friendship, the stuff we've shared, how our lives have changed, and however many years it's been, you know, it's God showing me that this program works in our lives. And yeah, we're very fortunate to even have him here this year. So, I don't know what else to say, but I'm grateful to be here. I love you. And that's all. Welcome, Mike Harvey.
I'm Mike. I'm an addict.
Hey, Mike.
Gene got me crying. I knew I was gonna cry. There wasn't no doubt I was gonna. Hell, I couldn't. I always tell Amanda and be like, I'm really sleepy. I'm gonna cry every losing. And I always blame her. I used to call her my weeping willow, you know, because she always cries. And I'd be like, I used to cry before I fucking met you, you know. You know, my grand sponsor, who's Mr. Bill,
right,
says, you know, real men cry, eat quiche, and wear pink. So, you know, I learned to cry a lot at our sponsorship retreat, you know. But Gene is my sponsor, and it's a crazy thing how we met, you know. Really, it's, you know, I was in treatment. I went to a treatment center in Memphis, a year-long treatment program, and I was out on pass after being locked in treatment for 11 and a half months or whatever, and I happened to go to the noon meeting, and I don't think I've ever seen him at the fucking noon meeting in the last 20 years after that, but for some reason he's at the noon meeting that day. Didn't know him, never met him. I think I was outside smoking, and he came up and, you know, introduced himself to start talking to me, you know, and we just kind of hit it off a little bit. And so I was on pass again, and I went to the Friday night meeting, and that was his home group. And so I asked him to be my sponsor. And, we always, you know, we talk a lot about sponsorship in here, and there's a lot of talk here about sponsorship, families, and retreats, and I really don't give a fuck what your opinion is on it. You know, I know that for me, it changed my life having that. You know, there's a lot of my sponsorship brothers and here today. You know, and I was so happy when JW said the other night when he shared that they're going to start having a men's retreat. Because I've always, you know, I always said if I wasn't in this, my sponsorship family, I would be in y'all's sponsorship family. Because I feel like y'all, you know, y'all are already my family, you know. But yeah, you know, I was trying to remember the first year I came, I was looking at the banners. First year I came here was, I think in 2006 was the first year I came here. And I only came, you know, I'm from Memphis. I was the only person from Memphis that came here. And the only reason I came is because all the people in Tupelo and Corinth and all the people that I knew from there talked about this convention. And I had no idea, you know, I had no idea, you know, so I drove down here by myself, you know, and I remember walking, the hospitality room was real huge back then. I walked in the hospitality room and there was a great big poker game going on, poker tournament. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm home. Yeah, I'm, as crazy as I won that tournament that year and paid for my whole weekend. I spent all my money on merchandise. I had a ball. I was like, I ain't never going, you know. And we have not missed this retreat, I mean this convention. One year Amanda's grandmother passed away, and last year I couldn't make it. And you know, I'm sure. You know, the Tupelo group. I see JW, these guys are sitting right here. They told me they were going to sit right in the front row. Because me, I hate fucking speaking, okay? It gives me such, all my friends, you know, I have all these people that are my friends, JW, you know, Linda, all these people in my life that, you know, they can get up here. I was told Amanda this morning, you know, you give JW a topic on fucking crickets. You know, he can make it spiritual and just talk for, you know, 45 minutes on how this cricket changed his fucking life. And, you know, me, when Heather asked me yesterday, I was like, look, me and Amanda, we was all eating breakfast. I was eating breakfast with my sponsor and his wife and my wife and we're all sitting there. Me and Amanda's like, yeah, we ain't got to do shit at the convention this year. We didn't have to do no workshops. We didn't do nothing. We're just enjoying ourselves. We're just laying back, sleeping late, ain't got to get up. And then Heather comes up and goes, we want you to be the speaker. And ask me in front of my fucking sponsor, too. You know? I'm like, she could tell. I was like, I love you, Heather. She could tell that I wasn't happy. Look, I'm honored. I'm fucking honored. I promise you. I didn't sleep maybe an hour last night because my head is just, I get anxiety. And JDF's like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just, you know. Anyway, I've been coming to this convention a long time This is something that we do in February. I remember when I met Amanda, I told her, look, I go to this convention every year in February, you know, I'm not fucking, I go to this retreat in December, those are two things I'm not willing to compromise, I'm fucking going, you know, these are things I'm going to do. And she's like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to fucking date you or whatever. Yeah, okay, big deal, motherfucker. You know. And I'm sorry I cuss a lot, but that's just how I talk. But you know, I went to treatment, like I said, in Memphis, I was locked up in Clarksville, Tennessee, in jail, and they gave me an opportunity to be able to go to treatment for a year in Memphis, and you know, I personally didn't want to get clean, and I had no intentions of getting clean. I really wanted a cigarette really bad. And I talked to this man on the phone. He said, well, you know, do you smoke, Mr. Harvey? I said, I do smoke. He said, well, if you come through this treatment center, we're going to give you a pack of cigarettes every day. I said, I'm fucking going to treatment. I'm going, you know. And so, you know, I'd say that because, you know, I've always heard people say in meetings, you know, if you ain't here for yourself, you ain't gonna stay. That's bullshit. That is not my experience. That's not my experience. I don't care if you're here for your kids. I don't care if you're here for your family. I don't care. you know what, it don't matter how you get here, it's about what you do when you get here, you know. And so don't believe everything you fucking hear in a meeting, because most of the people are talking out their ass, you know. And so, I mean, that's why you go to a lot of meetings, so you can figure out who's not full of shit and who's full of shit, and, you know. But, you know, I'm an electrician. And so, before, you know, I had, my dad had put me in jail because I had broken his house. And, you know, we had a big falling out over, you know, we didn't talk for a long time. And he called the fucking police on me, which I couldn't believe he called. I stole my own shit out of his house. I did not steal anything of his. Everything I stole was mine. But he knew I was going to take it and pawn it and sell it. And, you know, and then, you know, the cop that was chasing me was like, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's a felony to break in someone's house and steal your own shit, you know. So anyway, I end up in jail, and I go to treatment in Memphis. And I was living in hotels, working on a racetrack up in Nashville, and, you know, build a motel at Vanderbilt, and, you know, doing all these jobs. And so I've been in treatment for a year, and my first job is in Tupelo, Mississippi, building the Malco Theater down there, you know, and living in a fucking hotel again. Here I am. I've been in treatment for a year, but, you know, here I am again in a hotel alone. And so I went to the fucking AA meeting, because I couldn't find the NA meeting. I didn't know. So I went to the AA meeting. And there was some crazy guy there. I don't remember his name, but he was some crazy. He's like, oh, I know where the NA meeting is. And he took me over there where, you know, I forget where that place, over by the hospital. And you know, that's where I met J.W. First night I went to the meeting. You know, I always say, it's gonna make me cry. You know, I was scared. You know, God sent me JW, you know. Because, you know, I know my hand, 5-6 people in my life that the first time I met them, you know, we just clicked. And that's us, you know. We just clicked. And I don't know, he's up here, what, till 2 or 3 in the morning, talking, and his wife's calling him like, where are you? I'm up here talking this Hawaiian dude. You know? And for the record, I'm not fucking Hawaiian, okay? Everybody calls me Hawaiian Mike. I ain't fucking Hawaiian, all right? I'm Japanese, so. But everybody calls me Hawaiian. I've been Hawaiian Mike, I don't know how fucking long. And we've been best friends ever since, all these years. And so he's one of the reasons I came to this, you know, to this convention, is because everybody's talking about this convention. Yeah, it's a big convention. And when I came, I remember this room being so much bigger. Did they make the room so
big? It's strong.
I swear, I come in now and I was like, I remember this. There's be like 500 people here. And then, you know, they had to do the up thing up there and put it on the wall. I mean, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people here last night. Hell, it's the first year that I didn't get to sit in this room for the Saturday night meeting. We came 30 minutes early, and every fucking seat was tight like Jesus. We had to sit out there. But I see so many faces, all the people that have been coming here all these years, you know. I see people, I only get to see them when I come down here every year, you know. But, you know, last year was a rough year. I don't know if you were here last year. A year ago today, I've just read it on, we've been reading these updates on Facebook. A year ago today, you know, Amanda made an update that last night, the night before, that, you know, y'all had a moment of silence for me, because I was in the hospital when And I thought, I mean, everybody thought I was going to die. Hell, I thought I was going to fucking die, you know. Crazy. It was a crazy thing from a little sore throat. I had a little sore throat one day, and, you know, Amanda had had COVID. And so I went up there to get tested for COVID and strep throat. And I didn't have anything. I said, no, you don't have strep throat. You ain't got the flu. You ain't got COVID. I'm like, okay, my throat's a little sore. It ain't real bad. But 2 days later, I started talking like a Donald Duck or something, you know. You know, I was talking. My voice got real funny, and I couldn't breathe. And so I said, we need to go to the emergency room. So we went to the emergency room. Ends up I have an abscess on my tonsil, which, yeah. And it you know, it's, they act like it's, you know, it's no big deal. You know, you're really swollen, you can't hardly breathe, we're gonna intubate you. And, you know, I didn't know what intubate was, but it's fucked up. I'm gonna tell you. you know, they do not prepare anybody for what that is when you wake up and you can't fucking breathe, and this, they're like, just relax. Let the machine breathe for you. Like, what the fuck? You know, and I know I was such an asshole. Oh my God, oh, I was horrible. I know, man, I'm sorry. I love you. But, you know, I would be like, I need to fucking write something. Couldn't fucking talk, you know. So I'd be writing shit. I'd be like, this right here. Well, she saved all them notebooks, you know. I see them, I look at them, you can't read a fucking thing that I wrote on none of them notebooks. Can't read shit, you know. But, you know, the bad thing is after the surgery, you know, they didn't put me on antibiotics right away or whatever, and I went septic. And I went septic all the way from my neck almost to my heart. And that shit about killed my ass. That's what about killed me. And you know, and God bless you, Gene, Catherine. You know, they were there through all of it. Gene was there. You know, worrying the shit out of me too. I fucking love Gene, but he'd be wanting to talk, and I can't fucking talk, and. But you know what? They held those doctors and all that very accountable, big time. Held them accountable, and God bless my wife putting these updates and all of y'all. I mean, yeah, all my friend, all my family, just everybody. It was a very hard time, But man. Y'all paid my bills. Y'all took care of my kids. Took care of my dog. It did everything for us, you know. And you know, it was all people from the fellowship, you know, and just hundreds of texts. You know, But I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. I believe that, you know, y'all's prayers made a hell of a difference in my life. You know, I don't know how I lived through all that. I don't know. When I got out of the hospital, I was in the hospital 2.5 months, in and out of the hospital. So every time I'd get a little better, next thing you know, I'm back in the hospital. You know, it was just like that for 2.5 months. I was in and out of the hospital, and finally I got to go home, and you know, I didn't get to watch the fucking Super Bowl, and I was pissed, yeah. And so Catherine taped the Super Bowl for me. And so, I was telling everybody, don't tell me who won. I don't want to fucking know who won. When I get home, I'm going to get to watch it, you know, because I don't know who won, So I watched them watching the Super Bowl, and it got down to like 3 minutes left in the game, and the motherfucker turned off. Didn't record the last 3 minutes of the game. And I don't know if you remember the Super Bowl last year, but it went down to the last, you know, the very last of the thing. So I had to search on YouTube. I was like, really? I can't believe it. Take the end of the fucking Super Bowl. But, yeah. But, But, you know, I remember one of the goals was, you know, I read one of the updates the other day, and it was like, our goal is to be home for the Super Bowl. And I didn't make it. I didn't get home for the Super Bowl. You know, I was in ICU again. And it's crazy, you know, we were up there. Hell, I was vaping in the fucking ICU. Just bam, foam cloud. You know, all the, it was terrible. I don't vape anymore. And I quit. I quit in February the 23rd. That's the last time I went in the hospital. And I said, I'm fucking done. All right, I'm done. And so I don't blame all that shit on people. Like, do you think vape did it? No, I don't think that. But God damn, it's hard to quit vaping. Hard to quit smoking. And then I got out of the hospital. I started smoking again for like a month. And everybody was fucking so mad at me. Everybody at work, all my buddies at work, my wife, all my friends, everybody's like, what? Why are you fucking smoking? I said, I'm only going to smoke for a month. Yeah, right. I did, though. I smoked for a month, and I fucking quit. So I hadn't smoked since then. And I had an opportunity to smoke a good cigar this weekend, and I didn't smoke one. But, you know, I want to. Don't get me wrong. You know. I don't know. You know, I was talking about our sponsorship, families, and how important that is to me. You know, I see Mikey P back there, and I was thinking about you last night, Mikey, and I was thinking about one of the first times I met you. I don't even know where it was at. I don't know if it was at the retreat. I don't think so. I think it was at the VRC or something. And you know, I just remember that when you hugged me, you know, he's the first man that ever really just hugged me, like my wife. I don't know if you ever had a hug from my wife. Uh-huh. One of those kind of hugs where he just held on to me, and here's a hug, and he's like, no. hold. See, I always remember that about you, Mikey. You know, and you know, just little things like that. People that have just changed my life. You know, just changed the way that that I look at life. I don't know. You know, it was so good to see all the people from my sponsorship family here. And I know how important it is to you guys. You know, because y'all all talk about it too. But you know, it's like when my father passed away. You know, we have a meeting called the Christmas tree meeting, and it's a meeting where we make ornaments for our people that have passed on, people that we loved, and we hang it up, and then we get up there and kind of tell a story about it. You know. And I'm going to tell you, it's like a three-hour meeting. And it is excruciating because everybody that comes in there you sit there and cry for like 3 hours if you sit in there. Because everybody's, you know, in there just doing their grieving. And it's absolutely the worst fucking meeting to chair, isn't it, Gene? I mean, it's when you're the chair of that meeting. And so I remember the year my father passed away, you know, Mr. Bill was like, you're chairing the Christmas tree meeting. I was like, fuck, you know. So hard. But, you know, I mean, that's where I really, that retreat's where I learned to cry. That's where I learned to grieve. We have a tree down there. It's this river. We go to Florida in Gainesville. And there's this river that goes over there. And we have a tree down there we call the Dad Tree. And, whenever people, the fathers pass away, we kind of take them to this tree, and we put like minnows on this tree. People carve their dad's initials in this tree, you know, and it's just a special place. You know, every year when I go down there, I try to make it over there to see, you know, talk to my dad, you know, and me and my dad we had a great relationship when I was growing up. And, you know, I ruined that relationship for a long time. We went a couple of years where we didn't talk, and I went to jail, and I remember I was in treatment and up in Synergy, and a lot of y'all from Home Wall know Lewis Sexton. That was who my counselor was in treatment. And you all know how he's a tough son of a bitch, he don't fuck around. And he kept telling me, need to write your dad a letter. And I was like, I ain't writing my fucking dad a letter. Hell no, I ain't doing that. So he would tell me that every week or two, I need you to write your dad a letter. And so finally he told me, he goes, look, if you don't write your dad a letter, I'm gonna throw your ass out of here and you can go back up there to Montgomery County Jail. That's what, so that's your choice. Either write the letter or go to jail. So I wrote my dad this letter, and a month later I get a letter back from him, and the first thing he says, can't believe you got the balls to fucking write me a letter. he said something in there, I'd never forget. He said, anybody can stay clean in treatment. I want to know what you're going to do when you get out of treatment. Show me what kind of man you're going to be when you get out. And, we ended up mending that relationship. It was never the same, but it was better. And, when I was growing up, my dad was my best friend. He was, my baseball coach. He was everything to me, And, I remember when he passed away, all these people were trying to get a hold of me, I was asleep. I worked nights, so I was asleep, my friend Russell was like, if people are trying to get a hold of you, and Amanda they come and wake me up and tell me, you need to call your sister. So, I called my sister, and I got a, 3.5-hour drive to get to Clarksville, and all the way to Clarksville, all I get is text after text from everybody, all y'all, all my people in my sponsorship family, just call after call after, and then the whole way home, just, we love you, just, it's gonna be all right, just whatever, normal people don't get that kind of shit, normal people don't get the level of love that we get. People don't know what the fuck they're missing, man. I heard somebody say the other day in the workshop, this is the greatest show on, to me it's the greatest show on earth, this is it. It don't get no better than this. And, we have to destroy our lives to get this, most of us. Once we get here, if you're new, I promise you, you're in for the ride of your life. I promise you. You just have no idea how these people can love you, and changed my life. I look out here and I see all these people. Man, I know so many. I was so mad at Heather at first when she asked me to share, because I know I love you, Heather, and I wasn't mad. Just I hate speaking. So but. The truth is I look out here and all I see is people that fucking love me, that don't care, really care what I say, it don't matter, I don't know. I'm just grateful. I'm very, very grateful at it. Because usually, me and Amanda, we get up on Sunday morning, fucking skate. We skate out of here. We don't stay for the speaker meeting. I'm sorry, y'all, but we don't. We try to get back to Memphis, I usually got to work on Sunday night, so, I don't know. I don't know how long have I been talking? Not long, probably. Anyway, but, I don't know if I got anything else to share. I know that, I love y'all. I think that's really all I got to share.